You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, need do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you got it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we love you for it. We appreciate you for it. You're always overcoming whatever roadblocks, pitfalls, or detours I put in your path. You constantly persevere. And we appreciate that, because we need that. We need that. Good morning, family. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10. Let me see. Did I do something wrong here? I think I did. I'm trying to figure some stuff out here. Don't mind me. Don't mind me. I'm just trying to get it together, you know, trying to make sure that I'm ready for you to this morning and what we're going to discuss and how we're going to have another episode of Changing the Minds of African People, which is it's not an easy task, but it must be done. Somebody's got to do it. And I'm willing to take whatever and do whatever I can to help make that happen. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcast. Click on that and then you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. This program, once again, is here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays, it's Acres of Diamonds at 6 p.m. this evening. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. Brother Wahad, outstanding program, and then followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. After that is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank is at 8 p.m. On Wednesday at 8 p.m. as well, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive. And then on Thursday, Relationships with Joy and Troy. Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, right after this program, at 1 p.m., Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee. Esoteric Review. Then Friday evening, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know it's right. You know it's right. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., not me, Sister POC, and her program, Revive.
at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Had a good program last night. I get a chance to listen in, you know I will. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. But if you are in the Atlanta area and you want those products right away, you can go to the Greenbrier Mall, and they have a kiosk right there, and those products are there, the laundry detergent, the batteries, the toothbrushes, deodorants, lotions, hair care products, you name it. They have the nice boxers for the brothers and nice towel set as a gift to give, all kinds of good stuff. So check them out. Go online if you're not in the Atlanta area, but if you're in the Atlanta area, but you can still go online. But if you wanted to get them right away, the Greenbrier Mall. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans with Brother Bamani Taimba. He just came back recently from a trip to Ghana. And he has many trips that I'm going to talk about right in a second here. But if you want to check that out, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org or give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. His trips this year, coming up soon, April 3rd through the 13th, going to Senegal and Gambia, and that for $3,300. Then in May 25th to June 5th, going to Ghana for the Repatriation Investment Tour. That is $3,700. And then in November 20th through the 30th, South Africa Roots and Cultural Tour. That is also $3,700. And then rounding out the year, December 22nd through January 3rd, Ghana, the Repatriation Investment Tour once again for $3,700. And then next April, once again going to Senegal and Gambia. And that's April 2nd through the 12th, 2021, for $3,500, a $200 difference. All of these packages are inclusive and with full accommodations and round-trip flights. You can use their easy pay method, which is interest-free. Contact a brother. Only a $400 down payment on any one of these trips, or put a $400 payment on all of them. Get back and forth to Africa many times. I like to get back and forth to Africa as often as I can. So Africa for the Africans with Brother Bamani Taimba. Give him a call. If you want to see photos of previous trips, even the most recent, go to facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos of recent trips, go to youtube.com/Bamani2007. And you will be surprised at the things that he has to offer, the places they stay, the transportation, all of it. Brothers and sisters, it's worth it. Contact Brother Bamani. Dr. Rinoko, his African tour. He has Uganda coming up, Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th. He may have something prior to the October 5th through the 16th tour. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. He's a very busy man. He's always in and out of the country. He's in the country now, you know. So contact Brother Rinoko. Go online to Rinoko.com and look at the beautiful pictures of Uganda and Rwanda. Man, I'm telling you, this is going to be a trip well worth it. Habesha. Habesha. Go to Habesha.com. No, excuse me. It is not .com. It is .org. Habesha.org. Look at the great work that Brother Sean are doing. But Kishan are just doing tremendous work. They're building. They are doing the work. Okay? They are doing the work. It's just phenomenal. A lot of love and respect for them and what they're doing. You know, Habesha. You know, I tell you. And what they do here in the States in terms of education, sustainability, Habesha Works, that program, what they do urban farming, urban growing. You know, Habesha is, I think, something that all of us need to look at, embrace, and become a part of, donate to. Its mission is sincere. They're doing the work. So check them out at Habesha, H-A-B-E-S-H-A, Habesha, Inc.org. Okay, family? All right. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in Atlanta in the West End area, right down the street from where I live, right here in the West End area, which, of course, is being gentrified. For real. The store hours are Wednesday through Saturday. They're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays from 12 to 7 on Sunday, from 1 to 3. And they have an African Holocaust Museum. They also have furniture, clothing, attire, artwork, artifacts, books. The Shrine of Black Madonna is a bookstore. And if they don't have the books that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get them for you. They also have a class, an African history class, every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30, free and open to the public. If you can't attend but you want that information, they also have an African history multimedia library, which is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. So you want to check that out. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End. The number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. This Thursday, I'll be at the Medu Bookstore, myself and Sister Reba and Baba Jehudi. We'll be there talking about ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, talking about study groups, the importance of study groups, and how they will help those of us who, just like Baba Olutunji in the class every Saturday, we need information. We need to educate ourselves. If we're going to get up out of this and prepare ourselves for the future that must come, we must educate ourselves. We must know what we're doing. We must know how to think and how to put those thoughts into practice. The Medu Bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. That's where we'll be on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Also, too, the Medu Bookstore, give Sister a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263, because they may have the book you're looking for. And if they do, go by there and pick it up. If not, they'll order it, and then you can come by here and pick it up. Okay? The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. And both of those places have the Nagash shoes, the red, black, and green shoes that you can pick up. I know they're going through a inventory chain, so they are offering some tremendous discounts on some of the shoes they had to get rid of that to prepare for the new ones coming in. So, and they're about to come in, and they didn't have my size to take advantage of it, but I'm going to get some more Nat Turners. I love them. I thought that was a good piece there. You know, no problems with my feet or anything. Felt real comfortable. Walked all over Africa, and we'll do it again. Okay. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. It's Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio, and the number to call is 929-477-2789, 929 877-277-2789 every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Also, too, we're preparing for our convention, our conference next month, March 13th through the 15th at the Interdenominational Theological Center on the campus of Morris Brown University, right there at 700 MLK Drive in Atlanta. So, brothers and sisters, please be there. Come to the conference. Learn more about us lifting us. Become a member. Invest in ourselves. Begin to build an economy that is for us, by us, and will sustain ourselves. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Akabin Institute. It's Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, Akabin Institute, P.O. Box. That's right, P.O. Box 10786. So make check and money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And, of course, you want to use PayPal or Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, Baruti. And you can make a sustaining contribution each month. It could be $10. It's $120 a year. That is, you know, or whatever the amount that you can afford, whatever the amount that you can deal with. Because we need the help. We need the help. We need you to. Oh, you know, I need to look at that. Just saw something I need to really bring to your attention, and that is China. Brother sent me some information on China and what the Chinese are preparing to do, which is serious. The Chinese are preparing to come up into Africa. I mean, yeah, they're there. No, I'm talking about basically taking control of huge swaths of land. They plan to locate about 100 million people into Africa. You know, China has a billion people, you know. And what those kind of people are, I mean, you know, a lot of times people export people who are on the margins or even less. Many times they're prisoners in society. And you know the Chinese use prison labor on the projects that they negotiate within a country. They don't have any local labor. They say they're going to do a project. Well, they do it, but they don't bring anybody on that anybody from that country. You know, they don't do it. They bring their own labor. I witnessed it firsthand in the Bahamas when they're building that resort that was on a par to Las Vegas or wherever else. Big resort, the biggest they would have on the island of Nassau, you know, or Paradise Island, wherever. Man, so I'm going to look into that and some other things and bring that information to you, to my listeners here. Sanjay, well, no, let me finish this up. The real Black history, unsung heroes and sheroes. Brother Kalanji and Brother Baruti and Professor Griff. This Saturday, the 22nd, this Saturday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., and that's going to be at the Westview Makerspace. Westview Maker is 1551 and Ralph David Abernathy. It's like this when Abernathy makes that turn, you know, going north, going towards MLK at the Westview Makerspace. And that's going to be this Saturday at 2 p.m. The real Black History Makers. Right on. I'll be there. And also, too, they have another for brothers only, Brother Marty Baruti lecture and question and answer session. Common Sense Security. Common Sense Security. That's going to be May 2nd at Akabin from 12 to 2. So it's not going to be a long conversation, but it's going, I'm quite sure it'll be pointed. So that's this Saturday. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Arroyo, Sister Gabby has sent me a whole bunch of more pictures just recently. I have plenty of visible documentation that, and I'm going to send my donation too. I haven't done that this year. I sent it last year, so get ready to do that. And send it to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti. So, dear brothers and sisters, I hope that some of the things that we announce here that you begin to do, because we need everything that I announce here, you know, needs your support, and we need to support it because of the work that they're doing, you know? It's not like they're just trying to get rich, they're trying to make some money. No, everything is for a benefit for us, mentally, spiritually, physically, is a benefit for us as African people. The Enyasesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enyasesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 16th. It is natural when certain needs are not met to do whatever you have to do to meet those needs. It's a fool who consistently gets beat down and finds in himself no matter of retaliation. Akili. We must not ignorantly allow others to misinterpret our tradition. For example, we contest the assertion that our ancestors blindly showed hospitality to strangers. Instead, they were generous to a fault. However, we always acted within our ancestral wisdom. It is this experience, intelligence, which led the Akan to maintain that we admit a sojourn, but not a suppressor. It is only when we become so determined to embrace a safe, pretentious African entity and fight to bring enemies into our communities and homes as our dearest and closest friends that we confuse ourselves into foolishly believing that our ancestors welcome anyone who happened to stumble into our space with childish open arms. The African proverb, ignorant man is a slave, says it all. Affirm, I admit no suppressors or oppressors. Affirm, I admit no suppressors or oppressors. February 17th. How can you claim that you want to be free when the one thing you'll be when you're free is the one thing you don't want to be? An African. Professor Smalls, Professor James Smalls. Africans trying to help concoct a new world wherein they can finally feel human without having to be African, do so pertaining that this current reality is not dominated by or wholly rooted in European imperatives. These Africans are claiming that they're not even breaking away from the very idea of tradition. They are claiming to have no traditions except those which they now manufacture for themselves. This expresses a deep schizophrenic ignorance of what tradition is. And it's laughable because no individual functions without a tradition. No group of individuals can start a society from nothing because someone taught them how to think and live. And in that teaching, the tradition of the instructor is hereby transferred. This should be obvious because societies are not started by newborns. And socialization, which is no more or less than a life's instructions in the traditions which evolved out of the cultural way of that people, begins at first contact with physical reality. No matter how we look at it, because we know that every people follow a tradition. Those confused Africans want to pretend that they do not follow the European tradition, as they certainly do. In and out of themselves, every people has a tradition. No people is inseparable from their tradition unless they are no longer that people. I repeat, no people is inseparable from their tradition unless they are no longer that people. Affirm, I am African. Affirm, I am African. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Let me tell you how the ancestors work. The name, the title of today's program, To Be African. I didn't look at the Inye Sesim today until I came down to prepare. As I was preparing for this program, I already put in To Be African. I was sent an email from an ASCAC member, ASCAC in the Southeast Regional Director, and she sent me the information about the upcoming activities, that were the study group, and of course this Thursday at the Greenbrier Mall at the Medu Bookstore, which I'll be a part of. And they sent information on To Be African, the book that I bought many few years ago, which are contributions from my ancestor, Nana Balfour, Dr. Asa Hilliard, and some contemporaries. Dr. Mema Ani, who is a personal friend of mine and who I consider a good friend of mine and who I consider her work, Yorugu, to be, as far as I'm concerned, is the Bible, if you want to use that analogy. It's a great work. Yorugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior, looking at the European for who and what they are. And the other is Dr. Wade Nobles, another brother who I consider outstanding. I love his quote on power, what power is, because we always talk about that. Power. We want power. You know, many people believe that power is money. Some people believe that power is education and information. Some of us believe that power is politics, the vote, that's power. Power is none of that. What is power? Power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans consistently define reality, and they shape it and fashion that reality in their interests and in their image. And then they impose it on others. And many people accept their reality as if it's their own. So the question I consistently pose after saying that quote is, who are we as African people in European reality? Who are we? First, we were the soulless people, no culture to speak of, running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any note, any worth. Basically justifying our captivity. In fact, there are some who made us believe that our captivity was good for us. There are Negroes walking around today who are saying that. Like the legislator in Florida. Her stupid ass, excuse me. That I'm so glad my people got out of Africa. A Negro pen wrote a book on that. Sure did. About 20-some years ago. So this mindset of not wanting to be African and choosing to identify with the captor has been with us a long time. Because why? We have accepted their reality as if it's our own. Who are we in their reality? Well, then, as I said, we were the soulless people. No culture to speak of. Justifying our captivity. And we embraced it. We worked with it. Who are we in their reality today? We're the scourge. We're the dispossessed. We're the criminals. The no fit fathers, no fit mothers. The drug addicts, the drug dealers, the gang bangers, the uneducatable, the mass incarcerated. That's who we are in their reality today. Can we derive real power from that? No. 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 The only way we get power is we shape and fashion our world and our image and our reality, and not to impose it. I like the first part of the quote, the ability to define reality. But I don't like the second part of the quote, and having to impose it on others and make them accept it as if it's there. I don't give it. I don't want to impose African on nobody but Africans, to make Africans understand and believe how important it is to be African. I could care less about anybody outside of us. In fact, I'm so damn serious about us. To me, we go to the continent. We leave all the Negro peons right here. This is the point. Either you in or you out. Either you African or you ain't. And you want to be black. You can be black here, because that's where white folks are. They claim whiteness. And because you did not understand to be African was something different than being black, you could keep your ass here. But those of us who want to be African, who want to work with Africans, and even those Negroes on the continent, those neocolonialists, those puppets, those who have been making sure that Africa does not unite, bring your ass here or to Europe. Whoever the hell else who have been your benefactors, whoever you have helped rip off Africa. Because to me, the only people who are on the continent, and I'm talking about the North Africans too, either you're going to be African or you're going to get your ass off the continent. You're going to stop enslaving our people. You're going to stop neutering our men. You're going to stop selling our sisters. Raping our sisters. We're claiming, we're going home to claim the continent, to be African. Because either we do it or we die. It's Pan-Africanism or perish. It's unify or die. Those two sayings, those are my two sayings from now on and out. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Either you're in or you're out. If you're in, let's do this. If you're out, see you. Because that's the direction we as African people must go. And everything that we do leads us on that road. The educational process, the economics, the political, everything. They ain't a damn, I could give less than a rat's ass about the politics of this country. I could care less who is going to be the nominee, who is going to be elected. I don't give a damn. Because it's going to be the same thing. I wasn't fooled in 2008. I just said, if Barack Hussein Obama's election means in a small measure or incremental measure that there's some betterment for African people. I knew, I ain't foolish. I ain't stupid. I knew that he couldn't come in and promoting and doing things that the so-called power structure would not want, that Europeans would not want,
and favoring our group, our culture, and favoring our people. I knew that. Y'all knew that. Let's not be stupid. But some of our people was just so happy, so enamored with the fact that an African man, American African, was in the White House. We're just so happy with that fact. Well, you know, we can't say nothing now, but let's try to get him reelected. You know, when he get reelected, then he can really do some things for us, because, you know, he ain't trying to just seek reelection. He is going to do great things for us. Let's wait till that happen, okay, y'all? Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then when he got reelected, he didn't do a damn thing. You know, I ain't lying, though. I have to admit, I did say, man, that'd be deep if he had Kwanzaa in the White House. If he had a Kwanzaa celebration in the White House. You know, they had a Kanara. They brought in some brothers and sisters, some drumming, and said, this is a cultural celebration. It was created by an American African, based on African cultural principles and the seven principles of Kwanzaa, the Nguza Saba. That's something that everybody could embrace. Umoja, unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Kumba, creativity. Nia, purpose. Kumba, creativity. And Imani, faith. These are principles that anybody can embrace. Yeah, right. And then, of course, pardon. He should have been pardoned Jack Johnson. I think, didn't Trump pardon Jack Johnson? He probably said some stupid shit like, yeah, Jack Johnson, he's still really doing great. He's still a good boxer. Just like Frederick Douglass. He's doing great things. What an idiot. And he could have pardoned Marcus Garvey. He should have pardoned Marcus Garvey. I know, brothers and sisters, he pardoned some brothers and sisters who were caught up in the drug piece. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. But no, he could have done some monumental things, especially in those last few years. And of course, he made his appearance this past weekend in Chicago. You know, everybody's all happy Barack was there. To be African. It would seem that it's obvious that to be African is the way back to our traditional positions of moral, intellectual, political, economic, scientific, and spiritual leadership in the African world. The essays that I'm going to read do not attempt to romanticize African culture and values. Indeed, there are problems inherent in any culture. But virtue of this antiquity, spiritual and intellectual content, and learned values, African culture has been the moral and philosophical compass for the world for most of the existence of Homo sapiens. And you know it's right. You know it's true. No matter how hard the European has lied and continues to lie. That's why what Donald Trump is, what Europeans are. See, there have been some Caucasians in the White House that made you believe, like Jimmy Carter or JFK or something like that. But then, of course, those Caucasians in the White House that brought it back to the perspective of like Ronald Reagan and, of course, Donald Trump and the idiot Bushes, both of them, the son and the daddy, crooks, criminals. By virtue of its antiquity and spiritual and intellectual content, learned values, African culture has been the moral and philosophical compass of the world for most of its existence where Homo sapiens been on this planet. This translates into respect for the creator and the creator's creations. For us to be African is critical for not only our survival, but it is critical for the survival of this planet,
understand something. When we right this crazy wrong, when we bring the planet back to sanity, that everything else on the planet will happen. When we bring sanity back and the spiritual connectedness back to this planet, because we are on African soil, things will change in this hemisphere, in North America, Central America, the Caribbean, and South America. Things will change on other parts in Europe and everywhere else. For Africans, it is critical for our survival. We owe our grandchildren's grandchildren a safe, clean, and non-polluted world. We must return to ourselves. We simply have to be African. We have to be African. Nana Bofor, Dr. Asa Hilliard. Our concern with the connection to our African past is really future orientated. It is not merely for sentimental or altruistic reasons that we return. While it is true that no one can or should live in the past, it is equally true that all futures are created out from the past. Remember, Dr. Clark, a dynamic Pan-Africanism based on the old and preparing for the new. That is cultural, technical, and spiritual. Our own reality, however fine and attractive the reality of others may be, can only be transformed by detailed knowledge of it, by our own efforts, by our own sacrifices. Amoco Cabral. It is of no use for us to wait any longer, I swear, time is of the essence, for a generation of well-educated men to arrive. We have slumbered and slept far too long already. The day is far spent. The day of death approaches, and you have good sense and good judgment sufficient to begin with if you feel disposed to make a right use of it. Mari Stewart. To be African, Marimba Ani. All people all over the world throughout history have shared in common fact that they belong to a culture of origin. This is a universal reality. Another equally important universal reality is that there are many, many different cultures in the world, and each of them is unique. The uniqueness of a culture is what gives specialness to its members. The members of a culture are bonded together by the culture which they share, the culture which gives them the sense of collective identity. We are an African people, I repeat. We are an African people. This statement simply means that there are values, traditions, and heritage that we share because we have a common origin. The cultural process is naturally a continuous one that allows people to affirm their connectedness through being linked to their origins. The continuity of our cultural identity have been interpreted cruelly and unnaturally by the experience of our captivity, of our enslavement. We as a people are still suffering from this crime because we have not been allowed to find our way back to the sense of cultural identity and continuity, which makes us a unified and whole people, because they don't want that. Because they know that once we become a unified and whole people, we bring sanity back to the planet. It is the only way. It is not through voting. It is not a piece of this nasty ass pie. It's none of that. We have not been able to function in the world with a collective consciousness that a strong sense of cultural roots naturally imparts. The term Ma'afa from the book Let the Circle Be Unbroken is a key Swahili word for disaster that we are now using to reclaim our right to tell our own story. The Ma'afa refers to the captivity and enslavement of our people and to sustain attempt to dehumanize us. Because the Ma'afa has disconnected us from our cultural origins, we have remained vulnerable in a social order that does not reflect our cultural identity. We are a people of African ancestry living in denial of who we are. We have lost our strength as a people. We are losing our children to a system which miseducates them. Our families are degenerating and disintegrating before our eyes. Our numbers are growing in statistics of drug addiction and incarceration. Responsible national African organizations are seeking remedies to these problems, but we are not speaking with one voice. We need to work together as a family who supports its members and who are responsible for their welfare. We must use the most valuable asset that we have. That is the spirit of our people. It is that spirit that connects us to our African roots. We are slowly waking to the need to reclaim our cultural legacy. We are using the term Sankofa from the Akan tradition in Ghana, West Africa, which tells us to return to the source so that we can go forward with strength and clarity. Culture is a powerful tool for inspiring human beings and bringing them closer to connected family action. Our cultural roots are the most ancient in the world. The spiritual concepts of our ancestors gave birth to religious thought. African people believed in the oneness of the African family through sacred time, which unites the past, the present, and the future. Our ancestors live with us. Our ancestors live with us. They created the first civilizations thousands of years ago, and they suffered the pain of the Ma'afa. They were able to endure the most disastrous dehumanizing circumstances ever to have been perpetrated against a group of people, only because of the power of the African spirit. They did not have the freedom to affirm their cultural heritage. We now have that choice. In the African view of life, it is our responsibility to honor their name. This is perhaps our moment of truth. Just like I mentioned about Dr. Bobby Wright in his outstanding essay, Psychopathic Racial Personalities, using the analogy of the bullfighter and the bull. When finally the bull sees the matador, the oppressor, it is called the moment of truth. And the bull is looking at him with its heaving bloody sides, because the object of the bull in the bullfight is for the matador to kill the bull. The object of this society is to kill African people and to kill the African spirit. They finally face the matador. Some may argue it is too late, because what we were doing was chasing the European institutions of democracy, capitalism, socialism, whatever. The moment of truth. We must come together as a family. We must do all that we can do to uplift our people. Otherwise, we are still denying who we are and bringing disorder to our family name, to our ancestors. The answer to our social dilemma is in re-socialization of our people into the cultural value system that affirms our spiritual being. Our ancestors are calling us home, back to our cultural selves. We must begin the source and the process of Sankofa. Mama Marimba Ani. We're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, and you can join this conversation, to be African at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media. part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Roy Ayers from the Ubiquity album of 1972. Red, Black, and Green, 2000s, Got to Be Black, 1972, that's right, almost 50 years ago. Man, just like Kwanzaa, which started in 66, and in
2016, I had the opportunity to speak at the shrine during the Kwanzaa celebration of Kujichagulia, self-determination. We are no closer to self-determination today than we were 50 years ago when Kwanzaa started, and that's still that way today. That's what I'm saying. We have to make a distinction. We have to say, either we're going to do this or we ain't. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by We Buy Black. Let's Buy Black, excuse me. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Followed by Wednesday, 8 to 10 as well. Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. Thursday, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee at 1 p.m. immediately following this program on Friday. And then Friday evening, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then, of course, every Monday through Friday, right here on Time for an Awakening Media, it's the Warren Ballantyne Show from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. Before we continue, I'm going to take the phone call. 602-602, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Brother Marcus. Brother Marcus, how are you today, my good friend?
I am doing great, good brother.
Good.
You know, I love being an African.
Ashe.
I love being an African because I got the best of everything.
That's right.
I got the best plan. I got the best landmass in the world.
That's right.
Where if I was left alone, I would be. I would need everything. I have everything I need.
That's right.
So I feel no way less. You know.
That's right.
Because of what a megalomaniac, a homicidal maniac. A pathological liar to me, okay?
That's right.
Which is the European. And now we got these damn Asians coming in. And I wonder who the hell is sanctioning these things? Who the hell is want to sanction 100 million Chinese coming into Africa? How the hell are we going to get their ass out of
there? Yeah, I know. This
we got
is
enough problems with the Arabs in the north.
Right.
Now we're going to bring in the damn 100 million Chinese. What the hell?
And they'll probably settle in. They'll probably settle in the east, you know, somewhere in the Kenya, Tanzania area, somewhere like that, or settle in the
they
east,
need
maybe Uganda.
To take their ass to Australia. Go to hell to Australia.
Yeah.
Big or, and empty down there.
Man. And you know the ones they're going to bring in are not people with wealth. They're bringing in exactly the criminals, the scourged, the marginalized. You know?
You know, we have to, this point, we have to raise hell. Because evidently, if the leadership in Africa is sanctioning this foolishness, then these people need to get the hell out of the leadership world. You know what I'm saying? Because how the hell are we going to get these damn people out of this? So, I don't know what is going on, my brother.
That's
why I guess we need that person on that cheer, on that AU cheer.
Yes.
We need our people.
We
need our voice.
We need that sister, man. I'm trying to get that sister on. She was a former
ambassador.
Yeah, got to get her on real soon.
Yes, they were on the Brother Elliot.
Right, a few months ago, yeah.
Yeah, but and I wonder who the hell they put there now.
Yeah.
I ain't heard nothing.
Right.
We don't know who they replace her with.
See, the thing is, there's always the European host, his objective is to neuter our voices, to squash our voice, and to prevent any possibility from us developing the kind of unity that we need that will be self-sustaining. It is deliberate. It is deliberate. When you see these neocolonialists, when you see these Negroes who argue against, that's why I'm saying, to me, it's ludicrous, it's crazy, it's asinine to argue with somebody whether or not we should be independent and self-determining and liberated and sovereign as a people. That's crazy. That's stupid. The question should be, the discussion should be, how do we achieve it? What are the methods that we can achieve it very soon instead of a protracted, long situation? We don't have the time. Time is of the essence. I know a sister told me the other day, well, you know, 50 years ain't much time in the time of, well, you know what? You're probably right in the time of life, but that ain't it. Today, things are accelerated. This Caucasian, this European has been plotting our demise almost since they set their foot on African soil and brought us here. They've been plotting our demise. There is no more cotton to pick, no more tobacco, no sugar damn cane. Now it's trying to get rid of.
Some of our people are complicit.
They
are self-destructing for a few crumbs.
Yes, they are, Brother Marcus.
A few pieces of silver. My brother, I tell you, but we have to keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
We have no choice.
We have
no choice. I just say it's Pan-Africanism or death.
That's right. So it's Pan-Africanism or perish. It's unify or die. And Brother Marcus, you use that phrase. I'm going to use that phrase. Anybody else who comes on the program and say, please use that phrase. It's Pan-Africanism or perish. It's unify or die. Because that's what the bottom line is. That's the situation that we are in as an African people. It is that serious. It is that dire. I appreciate you. All right, Brother Marcus.
I appreciate you because you bring some sanity into the madhouse.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, my brother. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Appreciate it. 646-646, good afternoon.
What's happening, Oshie? Listen, man, I think you have a problem with your volume level on tuning. It's a little too low. You may need to increase it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was listening to it. Also, what's happening, Brother Marcus? I hope all is well. How have you been, Brother Oshie?
I've been well. I've had a good week. I've been well, man. What about you?
Oh man, it's always good to hear that. Oh, it's the same old, bro.
Yeah.
You know, witnessing the sickness of the Negro is just a continuous thing, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if we're not going through one thing, we go into another. I did have a chance to take a minute to listen to a little bit of Bobby Wright.
Oh, outstanding.
Which was good, man, because I hadn't heard him in a while. I had also ran across his book. They had it online, you know, in the e-read. So I'm gonna try and read that right quick.
Right on.
Later on.
Right on.
But you know, other than that, man, it's you know, our people just in trouble, man. You know, it's amazing how we're being manipulated for the interests of this filthy, no good, stinking devil. It's just continuous in the complicity of our people to go along with it, thinking that he's gonna treat us in a certain manner is amazing, man. Mm. I mean, this whole election thing is it just shows you that even today a Negro can still be bought for cheap.
Yeah.
I mean it's amazing to witness our people justify in real time our continuous enslavement.
Well, I tell you, you know, that's why.
And we don't understand it.
Well, see, that's why, to me, I don't blame us. My disdain and disgust of Europeans, I consistently put the blame where it belongs, on them. They are the perpetrator. They're the ones that did this. Now, of course, you and I both agree, and we all should agree, getting ourselves up out of this is our responsibility. But we also must understand the vice grip, the stranglehold the chains that they have on our minds. They are deep. It's just like when you look at a brother who smokes. Now he's hooked on nicotine or any other person who has an addiction, whatever that might be. You understand that sometimes that addiction is so strong, you know, that it's hard for that individual. Maybe you have a constitute that is strong and you can, you know, withstand and you can overcome. And you know that probably the only thing that we really have to do as human beings is eat and drink. We have to have water, have to have some sustenance to eat. But outside of everything else, we don't have to have sex. Sex is great, you know, but we don't have to smoke. We don't have to do drugs. There are a lot of things that we don't have to do. And if we use our minds, we can break those particular habits. But also, if we use our minds, we can break the stranglehold and the vice grip that the European has on it for us to think clearly and to believe in ourselves and to embrace who we are, to embrace our culture, because that's what it is. There's no such thing as race. It's cultures. Europeans impose their culture on us, and they are cultural appropriators. They will take what is it that you have and make it their own and then give it back to you in an evil, distorted way and making you believe that you're part of it. I'm telling you.
Well, they got you programmed.
Exactly.
They got you totally, totally programmed into the abyss, something that's not real, a fantasy, a delusion. I mean, it's amazing how they have been able to cultivate our minds to constantly behave in what's not in the best interest of African people.
Well,
forget about just yourself, but your people collectively. Right, that's the only way you can move forward.
It is
a collective effort.
It is.
And a lot of Negroes.
But see, Jay, we in America. We say this is our country. The country is ours.
Yeah.
Our country. We say this madness. You know, it's just like I remember Malcolm saying, talking about, yeah, our astronauts. hell, they wouldn't even let your ass in Cape Canaveral. Talking about our astronauts. Yeah. But that was then, of course. That some have been that. But the point I'm making is that we too say this, but yet we were constantly marginalized. We are constantly denied. I mean, even the term African-American, which I don't use, as you know, I use American-African, because Africa is the noun, and a noun describes a person, place, or thing. The person is who an African is. The place is the continent, and the thing is liberation. And so what goes in front of that describes that. That's the adjective. And so we're American-Africans, but yet we try our best to believe that we are as American. And hey, man, we've been here a long time. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. Well, we built the White House. You know, we built this. We done that. Don't give a damn.
But what do you manufacture and produce?
Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing.
Nothing. So how could it be yours? This is a white man's country. I tell people that all the time. Until you manufacture and produce something and you can take care of yourself without the assistance of the white man, then it's yours.
Brother, there is
That's
no
why
place.
We could do it in Africa if we would just
That's
come
right.
together and separate ourselves from this filthy, stinking, no good devil. We can't grasp it.
Well, you know, Jay, in the Bible, there's a story, the Exodus. Supposedly Moses, who was the Israelites, and his mama put him in because the Herod, the king, heard about some liberator. And so I'm going to kill all the young boys. Same thing they did with Jesus. The same old bullshit story. And believe me, they're stories. They're fairy tales. They're just as much of a fairy tale as Humpty Damn Dumpty. And so supposedly he puts him in a basket and sails down the river. His sister can constantly see him being sailed down the Nile until he reaches the Pharaoh's daughter. And she brings him in and she raises him in a house as her own son, you know, until finally he comes to reality of who he is. He's Hebrew. And so now he's been cast out. And of course, he gets the Ten Commandments
from God, you know, which is taken from the 42 declarations of Ma'at. But anyway, and so now he goes to Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go, you know. And of course, finally, after all these plagues upon Egypt, boils and, you know, crickets and frogs, and then the death of the firstborn, you know, now I let them go. And of course, they go and they wander and all this. But it never happened. It never happened. It is not historical. It's a good story, probably a good moral story, I guess, but it's not historical. They want you to believe that everything in the damn Bible is history. It is not. It's allegory. It's allegory. It's myth.
Well, I always say, why accept the book that your rapist give to you? I don't accept nothing from a rapist.
I accept
from a murderer,
nothing.
From a thief,
exactly.
From a liar.
Exactly.
I mean, the
exactly.
worst element of human being is the white man.
Exactly.
There's nothing that is decadent hasn't been created by the white man.
Yep.
Every type of illicit, vile, filthy, stinking, no behavior is a creation of the white man. Once you allow that dog out the cage, what did that dog become? Yeah. What he is today, an attack animal.
Yeah, but
and
listen.
That's all he's ever been. He's never been harmonious. He's never been anything other than a predator when it comes to African people.
That's right.
And until African people realize that, we're going to always be in this quagmire.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, though, Jay. That's what I'm saying. We must have an exodus. African people must go home. We must get out. If you want to stay wherever you are, you stay. But for those of us who understand that we are an African people, and the most important thing is Pan-Africanism or perish or unify or die. That's the slogan. Then we shouldn't be saying nothing else but Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die.
I would add use your burning necktie. That's what I would add. That's a beautiful thing, the burning necktie. I saw a picture the other day of a burning necktie, and I felt such pride and joy looking at it, man. I was like, whoa, this is what has to be used with some of these traitorous individuals.
Well,
you know, we sometimes forget that we as a people have a right to defend ourselves against oppression.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
We
have a right to take out the overseer.
Yes, we do.
Stop allowing the overseer to oversee you. Stop allowing these gatekeepers to continuously do the things that they do.
Jay, I agree. Jay, I agree. You call them out for who and what they are. You expose them for what they are. You ostracize them from our community, and we begin to move forward. Let me read this other piece on To Be African, what I'm talking about today. If you want to stand by, I sure will. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate your call always, brother. Always. To Be African, Nana Bofo, Dr. Asa Hilliard. To be African or not to be? That is truly the fundamental question. Let me say that. I know there was a saying in Shakespeare, whatever. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler than the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of misfortune. Shut up. Because the real question is to be African or not to be. That is truly the fundamental question. And if you are to be African, this is the direction. If you're not to be, you keep your ass here. Slavery or captivity, colonization, segregation, apartheid, and the ideology of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege have been and are systematic ways of assault on African people from hundreds of years ago to the present. The descendants of Africans all over the world are like the punch-drunk boxer who has been hit by everything, including the ring post. He does not know where he is. He may not know that he is still in the fight. He cannot protect himself from further attack. He cannot see clearly. He may not even know where his own corner of the ring is. He moves almost on instinct alone. He falls. He is not down for the full knockout count. He has a reserve.
He holds on to his opponent in order to gain some time to clear his head, to renew his strength. He gradually regains clarity. Strength returns to his very weary limbs. Suddenly, he strikes out. He knocks that son of a bitch out. He's victorious. Most Africans do not really understand what we're doing when we come under attack from outside the continent. We do not know how the attack was conducted or why. We remember some of the brutal images, but not the most devastating ones. The truly devastating ones were silent and invisible. They were the enslavement, the captivity, and the colonization of our minds. Let me repeat. They were the enslavement, the captivity, and the colonization of our minds. Our memory has not been restored. Our vision about things is still blurred. We are still struggling to get back into the fight. The physical pain and emotional hurt went beyond measure, but it was the mental assault and the resolute disorientation and loss of consciousness that disabled us most. Our deepest relationships, our social bonds, our solidarity with our African family were deliberate targets for our oppressors. They knew that alone we were vulnerable, but that together we were invincible. I repeat, they knew that alone we were vulnerable, but that together we were invincible. They did their jobs extremely well. They designed a system to make us lose the very base of our collective identity. Things that glued us together were attacked mercilessly in very calculated, systematic, and sophisticated ways. Our cultural names, our understanding of God, our language, our stories, our proverbs, our worldview, anything that bound us together was crushed. In their place, our oppressor demanded that thou shalt have no other God before me. This, of course, meant that the oppressor was to be our God. As Dr. John Henry Clark said too often, they even colonized the image of the deity. For slavery, colonization, segregation, apartheid, and the ideology of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege to work, they had to destroy our independence at all costs. Then they had to make us believe in, protect, and even demand European supremacy, white supremacy. Some of us believe more strongly in that than Europeans do. We had to be taught to love European more than life itself. Consciously and unconsciously, we have drifted so far, we do not know what we left behind or its value to us today. Oh, man. And so you can see that the restoration of our collective memory is a revolutionary act of liberation. It is a solid ground upon which we can build economic and political power and to return to a sense of purpose and destiny. To recover the practice of our cultural norms and forms, our values, our worldview is an act that challenges the very foundation of any form of oppression. So it is something that we must do if we are to exist in order to build our own world on the foundation laid by our ancestors and our elders. No, we do not have to give up television, telephones, physics, whatever, in order to build our own world on a firm foundation laid by our elders and ancestors. These are the things that we have helped to create. Now, as horrible as the Maafa has been and still is, because we're still living in the Maafa, brothers and sisters, it is not the real reason for our turn to and our use of our own culture. Even if there had been no Maafa, no colonization, captivity, segregation, apartheid, or European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege ideology, the final question would be the same for us: to be African or not to be. We cannot fashion a valid ethnic identity merely out of a response to terror and oppression. We certainly must fight and deal with oppression, But our work is far more complicated and complete than that. The decision to be African is a decision about membership and in a commitment to a global African family. Our family is a family that carries thousands of years of history and culture, a history and culture that is second to none, a history and culture that still lives on the African continent and abroad in the diaspora. We do not know and have not remembered these things. We've been trained not to. We've been trained to reject them, to hate them, to despise them, to think of them as inferior. For our great-grandparents, grandparents, and so on, for our ancestors and for our brothers and sisters, our children yet to be born, we must claim them and build a world for them. We must claim our heritage as our base for solving problems collectively, not as individuals. We must put ourselves in charge of ourselves. We must pick up ourselves, knit ourselves back together, and revive and revere ourselves. No one else sees a bright future for us. No one else will guarantee that it comes into being but us. We are at a fork in the road, brothers and sisters. We are at a fork in the road. We come to this point. Which way do we go? I have said many times that we were conveniently steered in the direction of assimilation, integration, acceptance, rejection of self, as opposed to the road that we should have taken to self-definition, liberation, self-determination, sovereignty. We have come to a fork in the road. Many people of African descent have chosen to go it alone or to try to become members of someone else's ethnic family through integration and assimilation to alien aims and authority. They are still our brothers and sisters. They have a right to choose the path that they think is best for them. But if that's what they want to choose, just go ahead. You out the house. If you want to get in the house, this is the direction. This is the road. For me to abandon African identity, even if years have dimmed our memory, it is our perspective about it. To choose to abandon the fruits of the labor of our ancestors and to leave the family as our source of nature. It is to choose not to be, not to exist. The love and pride and bond that I feel for African family is no more intense than the respect that I feel for other non-African families, even admiration for them if they are non-homogenic. Yet I cannot really respect others unless I love myself. I repeat, I cannot respect others unless I love and respect myself. Money and political power are basic to our struggle. They are those who believe that we must start there. Some say that the cultural matters will have to wait. Some even argue that the solution to our problem is to forget our culture and to organize our social class. Money and political power are definitely important. However, a real world reveals that money, political power, and culture cannot be separated. It is a matter of both and or neither. In fact, there are not now, nor has it ever been, any non-cultural or cultural group who accumulated wealth and power. Notice how the real world is configured ethnically. We are not only at a fork in the road, we may be at the last moment in time when we can still marshal our forces, regroup, teach ourselves the things that we need to know, create a reunion and resurrection of our family. The further we move from our cultural source, the weaker we become. To be African or not to be, that is truly the question. It is round 15 of a 15-round fight. We are really overwhelmed. Do we really want to win? Do we believe that we can take charge of ourselves? Do we even have the will to do so? Can we say, as our ancestors have, I am because we are. And because we are, therefore I am. As opposed to what the Caucasian says, I think, therefore I am. Survival of the fittest. Loving individualism. I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. Can we change from being objective to the proper name like everyone else in the world? Can we abandon color, Negro, at risk, minority, diverse, the poor, and oppressed, and be African? Just be African with all the responsibilities that being a family member requires. There really is no other valuable choice. There is no other valuable choice to be African or not. It's the bottom line. What you got to say, Jay?
Yeah, you know, the bottom line is, Ochi, whatever we do, we're going to have to figure it out. I mean, I don't know, man. I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, what direction are we as a people going to go in?
Yeah.
You know, you always talking about, you know, put up or shut up or perish or else.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know what direction we really going to go in as time moves forward. I mean, you know, I was thinking about your Cafe Hulo over the weekend.
Yeah.
And how that establishment closed down. Yeah,
it still hurts, man. I mean? It hurts.
It's like, you know, when you notice what goes on in your community and things of that nature, you know, Brother Osi, I mean, it just seems like we are not moving forward on the level that we really should be. I mean, you know, you talk about black businesses and stuff like that, but when you really look at it, those businesses are not the type of businesses, honestly, that could bring the people in to be able to feed, clothe, and shelter them, to be able to do the necessary thing to move ourselves forward. You know, one more beauty salon, one more barbershop, one more restaurant, you know, those things are not going to take us to the next level.
No,
and we need manufacturing-type institutions. You know, let me say this right quick. We should be in a position as a people, with all of these pork chop chicken eating institutions, to never ever have to buy underwear from the white man.
That's right.
We should be producing our own underwear and selling them right there in the church. You know, these are the type of creative things that we should be doing. We should have a sock manufacturing.
Yeah.
You know, underwear, bras,
well, you know,
all of these things that should be sold within the black churches. And, you know, if we had the right mindset, then we could do things like that, create industry, and then place ourselves in certain positions to move forward. We're the only group in this country, I feel, right now.
But see,
honestly, that's not building community.
Well, see, that's the thing. But you know why? Because the church doesn't allow it. The church is an individualistic institution of the people who are in that particular damn church. The church does not allow the unification of African people. It speaks to the individual. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You know, I'm going to meet the Lord. You know, it doesn't talk about pulling resources. It doesn't talk about galvanizing and doing things within that community, regardless if they go to that church or not, but speaking to the needs of those people in that community, it doesn't do it. So
well,
I dismiss.
Collective if it's for if it's only collective, is for the hierarchy of the church. Now you do have some churches that do some very good things.
I agree.
But on the collective,
I agree.
On the collective. It's a dismal, disgusting institution. If we're going to tell the truth about it. Because first of all, let's deal with this. How could you talk about you believe in God and you have separate denominations that you can't even come together?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying to you. There's no cohesion. But listen, let me go through these points before I lose my time. And hopefully there'll be a little bit more that you can chew on, Jay. Okay. All right, brother. All right. Appreciate it, man. In what was said about African people, consistently over the years, particularly by Europeans, has been so degrading and so dehumanizing, you know, making us believe and the world believe that the justification of their captivity of us helped us bring us into Western ideas and Western civilization. And some of us, as I mentioned before, are very thankful for that and giving us that good old time religion. It's good enough for me. Well, Henry Berry of the Virginia House of Representatives said, he said, and this is deep, he said, we have closed off every avenue. He said this in the late, around the late 17 or the early 1800s, late 17 or early 1800s. He says, we have closed off every avenue by which light may enter the captive's mind. And if we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. He will be the beast of the fields and we will be safe. We have closed off every avenue, every possibility. Now, he didn't mean no damn candlelight or fluorescent light or moonlight. No, he meant knowledge of self. We have closed all that off from you. We have distorted the information, and anything that we bring you is always put you in an image of being less than or inferior, because we control it all. We have closed all that off from you. And now if we can make you not want to know, if we can make you reject those like myself who are trying to wake up your damn mind, I got you. If you can believe the religion I give you, as evil as I am, if you can believe in my institutions, my education, my money, my modem, my theology, my methodology, I got you. You will be as the beast of the fields and we will be safe. So we have two primary reasons for knowing our heritage and education and child rearing and socialization. One, we have the best developed teachings and socialization practices ever developed anywhere in the world. These are true. These practices are still good for us and others. They know it. And they're good for us now. The primary tool of our oppression is miseducation by our oppressors. We must regain control over the primary education and socialization of our children. Bottom line. The bottom line. In our conversation this past Friday with Brother Akil, brother out of Philadelphia with African Centered Education, it is vitally important, and particularly at the foundation of education, the early ages. Because if you have that, and you know who you are, even if you go to a high school that is European, you know why you are there. You ain't there to make friends. You don't give a damn. You're there to get everything that that school has to offer to prepare you to nation build. African teaching precepts must be embedded in and must serve the American must serve the African community. Traditionally, African communities have been identified by a shared belief in several key elements. It is these elements that are the foundation for African teachers. Number one, believe that the cosmos is alive. Believe in the spirit of our ancestors. Believe that spirituality is at the center of our being. Not religion, not Christianity, not Islam, not Seventh-day Adventists, not more science, not black Hebrew, like Israelites, whatever. Our African spirituality, anything. If something divides us, you need to reject that. Kick that shit to the curb. Embrace what unites us, not in a theology, but as an African people, for African people to love one another, support one another, to rear our children, to build institutions, to help our elders, to revere and honor and respect our ancestors. The belief that human society is a living spiritual part of the cosmos and not alien to it. Number four, the belief that our people have a design and divine purpose and destiny. We have a divine purpose and destiny. Number five, the belief that each child is a living son the S-O-N, but also the S-U-N, a divine gift of the Creator. Number six, belief that properly socialized, our children will experience stages of transformation, moving towards perfection, that is, becoming more like the Creator, Amun-Ra, or Ra, the ray of the sun, the language of ancient Kemet. They will try to live like God. They will respect themselves, each other. Their behavior will be respectful of themselves and each other. They will know a time and a place for everything, and they will act on it. Number seven, since the deep guiding principle of living God is to follow Ma'at, we have all that we need. The principles of Ma'at, the Nguza Saba of Kwanzaa, we have everything that we need if we embrace it. Truth, justice, righteousness, order, reciprocity, harmony, and balance. Then African teachers focus on the curriculum, on the real and the truth, on what was, what is, and what can be in keeping with divine principles. Righteousness, truth, justice, reciprocity, harmony, order, and balance. Number eight, African teachers place a premium on bringing their students into the knowledge of themselves and in knowledge of their communities. African people place great value on who each person is and who the community is and the honor place that each member of the family occupies within that community. Respect for children. Respect for adults. Respect for elders. Respect for family and the community. African teachers, number nine, African teachers respect mastery and seek through apprenticeship to learn from true masters, masters who are valued agents of the African community, who are steeped in the deep thought and behavior of the community, and who exhibit an abiding, unshakable primary loyalty to the community, and who are in constant communications with the wise elders of the community. Constantly. Respecting all phases of the learning process of our people. Number 10, African teachers recognize the genius and the divinity of each of our children, speaking to and teaching to each child's intellect, humanity, and spirit. We do not question a child's possession of these things. In touching the intellect, humanity, and spirit, African teachers recognize the centrality of relationships between teachers and students, among students, and within the African community as a whole, because everybody helps teach that child. When we say, you know, it takes that village, then that's honest. Not that I see your kid acting up, I'm going to whoop his ass. No. We instruct constantly. We're all on the same page. We're all given the same message. All of it building towards the unification of African people and the bonding of African people and the control of our resources, the control of manufacturing, the control of our destiny. Number 11, for African teachers, teaching is a calling, a constant journey towards mastery, a scientific activity, a matter of community membership, an aspect of a learning community, a process of becoming a library, a matter of care and custody of our culture and traditions, a matter of critical viewing of the wider world, and a response to the imperative of Ma'at. The reason why the African society lasted so long, thousands of years, because, you're right, they had a desert. If you acted up, they sent your ass to the desert, which was a death sentence. Okay, I get that. But no. It was because Ma'at ruled the society. Truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, and balance. Number 12, the African teacher is a parent, a friend, a guide, a coach, a healer, a jegna, not the word mentor, not mentor, brothers and sisters, jegna. A counselor, a model, a storyteller, an entertainer, an artist, an architect, a builder, a minister, an advocate to and for the students. Modeled. He or she doesn't say or do something that he or she does not believe in. It's not do as I say, not as I do. Live a contradictory life. No, you're not a hypocrite. You're a model. A brief sample of African socialization can be found in the works. Let me give some works that here, but just let me say this. Like I said, I had no idea in the Yinye Sesem that that piece would be on to be African. That was the spirit. I found this particular piece. That's who we are. That's what we must be. To be African. Not just in this month of February where we talk about the history of African people and the importance of that history to be incorporated into our everyday lives. But we must transform ourselves to be the kind of people that are necessary. Let me get Jay for one last word in here because I appreciate you. Jay, you got one last word before we get out of here, man?
Hey, Oshie, man, all I'd like to do is say I appreciate you, brother, for what you do for our people every day and especially on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Right on.
Listen, nobody could ask more of an African extending themselves and educating the people. And like I say, Oshi, you do a good job, especially what we are facing as a people with these traitorous turncoat Negroes, man. So thank you again, Oshi, on behalf of myself and African people, man. May you shine and may you really enjoy the day. And all I hope that the listeners out there have learned something today from you, and I hope that they enjoy the day.
Right
and,
on.
You know, let's keep doing what we're doing and moving forward to hopefully the liberation of ourselves and African people. Hotep, Brother Oshi.
Hotep, Jay. Thank you for those words. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate all those brothers and sisters who listen to this program. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, I always appreciate the opportunity to come on these airways every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, where I have an opportunity to talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because on this program, we believe there is no other discussion. Everything else is moot. And we will never talk about why we can't. We always talk about how can we achieve it. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fortier. Bibi Fortier is our victorious destiny. Bibi Fortier family, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. And see you back here on Wednesday. Peace, family.